Now, last week, our homestretch naturalist filled us in on a remarkable encounter with a super pod of bottlenose dolphins. But that wasn't where his underwater Galapagos experience ended. Brian Keating has more stories of an aquatic kind and joins me now. Hello.
Hi, Terry.
Brian, there are so many fascinating creatures in this region. Why are you focusing on the surrounding ocean life?
Well, you know, the Galapagos is well known for its tortoises, and we saw really good tortoises and, of course, iguanas and all kinds of nesting birds. But, you know, Terry, I look back when I was in high school, I took a marine biology summer course because I was really interested in oceanic life. I lived near the ocean in those days, and I spent a lot of my time snorkeling in the waters looking for, you know, interesting life forms. And my mom tells me that I often emerged shivering with blue lips and a sunburned back. But, you know, it was my first trip to the Galapagos back in 1997 that I did a two-week scuba diving trip. And that experience gave my wife and I essentially a crash course in the unbelievably rich waters that surround these islands. I remember swimming into huge populations of fish, specifically a fish known as the striped salema, which is locally called the sardine. But I remember going in and it got so dark in there in this massive number of fish that I actually had to, I turned on my underwater flashlight just to feel a little bit better about being inside this mass of life. But then I looked up and my exhalation of bubbles as they rose, the fish opened up as if it was the iris of a camera opening up. And above that, I could see our waiting zodiac above waiting for us to finish our dive. But it's those types of populations of fish that we saw that really gave me an understanding of how amazing the waters that surround the Galapagos are. Some studies that I've read indicate that there's 50% more biomass per cubic meter than even in the richest oceans of the world when you compare it to the Galapagos. And it was that initial scuba diving trip that we encountered those types of numbers and the numbers of hammerhead sharks that I really will never forget.
Why are these waters so rich, Brian?
Well, it's because they're located in the islands themselves are located in a very special spot. They're at the intersection of five major ocean currents, and along with the warm temperatures that you find in the equator, those currents dictate what happens on the island's climate and also totally controls their unique ecology above and below the water. And ever since people have been coming to the Galapagos, they've been struck by how mild the climate is. Even Charles Darwin in 1835 he wrote about how surprised he was at the untropical weather that he experienced on the islands. And of course, Charles Darwin was a smart guy, and he also pinpointed the main reason, and he figured it was because of the Great Southern Polar Current, which is now called the Humboldt Current. It comes up from the Antarctic and washes over the islands and keeps the waters around the islands cooler. It also was responsible for bringing up penguins, which now exist as a different species in the Galapagos, and fur seals. The aquatic life density and diversity can be absolutely overwhelming.
Well, you mentioned hammerhead sharks earlier. Did you see any on this trip?
Yes, more on this trip than any other previous trip, except, of course, that first scuba diving trip where we came across massive numbers of them schooling at depth. But usually when you snorkel, the chances of finding hammerheads are difficult. But we lucked out on two different days with hammerhead sharks. Our first encounter was a focused attempt to find them in one of their known areas. We were at an island called Genoveza Island, which is one of the further northern islands. And it's a caldera, sunken caldera from the volcano that has filled, of course, with oceanic water. And we were swimming in there. And we had a number of encounters with hammerheads, but brief encounters. Our big highlight was our very last snorkel event on our final full day. It was in about 10 meters of the clearest water that we had snorkeled in so far on the trip. And we counted 9 hammerhead sharks easily seen against the white sand bottom. And I sent you a photo, Terry, that you can send around. But I don't think we did one snorkel event on the whole trip, and we were snorkeling every single day, where we didn't see at least one species of shark, usually a black tip reef shark or a white tip or the Galapagos shark. And sometimes I even found them asleep, lying under overhanging volcanic outcrops as I would snorkel down and check out these locations.
Brian, you're snorkeling with these sharks. I mean, were you worried at all? Were you afraid?
Well, you know, Terry, you're right. They are a top-level predator. There's no question. And they deserve our respect. We just have to look at the statistics, though. And most shark attacks happen below the surface to divers who are spearfishing. So they're maybe carrying a dead fish on their belt or they're actively spearfishing. Or on the surface when people are surfing and mistaken for a seal. But it's rare when snorkelers are taken, and I don't know of any such attack within the Galapagos. And several people in my group were understandably apprehensive about seeing sharks at first. But Terry, I observed a fantastic behavioral turnaround soon into our daily snorkel events when a shark was found and announced by a snorkeler. Everybody swam in for a closer look. So, they're seeing a shark in the ocean is like seeing a lion on the savannah in Africa. It just sort of completes the whole picture. And you know, when you think about it, sharks are in such trouble, mostly from overfishing, especially for what we've all heard about, that shark finning, which is that disgusting behavior of catching a shark, removing its fins, and throwing the shark back into the water to die. Hammerheads, Terry, are often targeted because they have big fins, and they often travel in large schools during the daytime. And they've been on a serious decline. In fact, they say that there's about a 95% decline in ocean systems of hammerhead populations just over the last 50 years. And biologists who study sharks tell us that sharks are a vital ecological component of our oceans, and they keep the ocean in balance. An ocean ecosystem without sharks, they say, would be an ocean ecosystem that would cease to exist. But Terry, there's some fantastic news. Just a few months ago, the president of Ecuador announced the formation of a huge marine protected area. And I've talked about marine protected areas on this show on several occasions in the past. They are important, and the one in that Ecuador just announced extends from the Galapagos Islands to the famous Cocos Islands just off of Costa Rica, which is another haven for sharks. And this expands the existing protected area by some 60,000 square kilometers, and it's called the Cocos Galapagos Swimway, and it provides a safe migratory passage for sharks, including whale sharks and sea turtles. And also it's an area that's off limits for fishing, so including longline fishing, which is so damaging, especially to hammerheads. And it's been proven time and time again in oceans around the world that the fishing industry outside these marine protected areas improves in a short period of time after those types of protections are put into place, because the protected area acts like a bank and the interest outflows into the surrounding waters.
Oh, the hammerheads really do look kind of peculiar, don't they?
They are. I think they're one of the most interesting sharks to look at. The hammerhead structure is actually called a cephalofoil, and it contains a whole bunch of pores that are designed to pick up electric stimulus from muscle contractions. So that big wide head acts as a device to search the ocean floor for resting stingrays, and they use that strange hammerhead to hold the stingray down while they feed on them. And it's one of the most interesting body shapes, I think, in any of the oceanic creatures.
Another amazing adventure. Brian, thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome, Terry. We'll talk to you next week.
That's Brian Keating, our naturalist here on the Homestretch. For more of his stories, go to his website, greatbignature.com, or his Facebook site of the same name.